Okay, this is called the go-away wind.
An unpeopling wind blows, and those that touch, shudder, and blur till there's no one left but a smudge blocking the sidewalk with theoretical fingerprints. An uncounting wind blows one, two, three, down and out, don't count anymore. A sudden wind blows birth certificates whirling into a spring rainstorm, chased by barking dogs till the soggy ink runs like black tears of the unborn. No such person. We don't see spirit changers' ghost hands any more than we see our own ghost noses. An undead, many-headed wind blows everyone off welfare because safety nets are bad for self-esteem, and self-esteem ingrains coffins and triplicates. I phoned the Constitution and the phone was off the hook. Busy, 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 nobody home. But I can't make righteous noises. I'm afraid of my own face stiffening in the go-away wind. The monster under the bed lives in the mirror. If everyone thrown off welfare winds up spirit changing in the street, I'll break my neck trying to look away. The best I can say for myself is I'll probably fail. I can't change the wail of that go-away wind, that downsizing wind going down on the dead. But I won't pretend it's a nice day. A cold wind rises where there's only so much, and anyone with a food stamp or a rag doll must have stolen it. Maybe for me. We're clutching at everything to keep off that wind, but it doesn't work. Big wind blowing away. Who were they when they had names?
And that was Julia Vinograd in her latest poetry collection, the poem The Go-Away Wind. Julia is a Berkeley poet who frequently appears on this show. The show is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. August 31st, 1997. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Robert Norris. For the next 2 hours, it's Civil Rights for the Poor in Santa Cruz and around the state. Sparing no expense to get you the news from the hot spots in the state. On Friday, August 29th, I went up to San Francisco to check out Critical Mass, which, according to the papers, was massing after a month before. In July, police had attacked Critical Mass after Willie Brown had issued several ill-considered public statements denouncing them, and then showed up in a limousine to preach to them, sort of an amusing and enraging situation for them. I was actually in San Francisco a month ago getting arrested with Homes Not Jails in an attempt to secure housing for poor people at the Presidio, and that struggle is still going on in the courts, and there's going to be another religious witness takeover in October. More about that hopefully later. Here's some interviews with Critical Mass folks up in San Francisco on August 29th. The festivities began around 6 o'clock in Justin Herman Plaza, where looked like at least 1,000 or 2,000 bicyclists were gathered.
Simon Ellis, you were here last time.
That's correct.
And how does the crowd look to you numbers-wise?
Not quite as many. It's not as densely packed. It's more spread out. But I still think there's many, many people here.
So the folks have not been scared away by Willie Brown's edict?
No, I think anything but.
So describe for us how it was for you a month ago.
Quite bizarre. It was the first time I'd done it. I'd heard about it for many, many months, and I finally decided to come down after the debacle of Willie Brown and take part and come see, as many, many other people came down to see. Came to take part.
Followed the route, what I thought was the route. I followed people in front, and then after about an hour I realized, as many other people did, that maybe this wasn't quite the way that it had been planned.
So what happened? Were you yourself inhibited by either police or other people from doing the usual? I guess it was your first time, so you didn't know what was usual.
I wasn't sure what was usual, and I think that was partly why I just kept on going, and many people kept on going. And it was only when we started going down on places like Market and Van Ness that I knew we were definitely not on the road, but I decided that things weren't going right. Things that I saw were, you know, other cyclists preventing
course, coming over intersections. The police, I didn't think, made... Well, I was expecting a police convoy as such, protecting the bike, right? But I only saw small gatherings of police, a few police cars here and there. And it wasn't until we came back to the financial district that you started seeing a bit of the old ultra-violence.
And tell us about that. Always exciting to hear.
Quite disturbing. Passengers and drivers just getting out of the car. Getting out of the car because they were, you know, pretty pissed off, and some people just broke and came out and slammed people off bikes, and then other bikers came to their protection, and people were out taking registration and license in notebooks. Other drivers would get out, and then you know, after 5 or 10 minutes, people realized they weren't getting anywhere, so they just got back in the cars, and the people who were really pissed off were kind of taken to the side and calmed down.
Any police activity that you saw?
You know, I really didn't see that activity that we heard about afterwards. It was about that point when I got back to the financial district and I realized that things were getting, you know, pretty hairy scary, that I decided this wasn't a good place to be.
And yet you've come back.
I've come back because I think that what critical masses started to say and what the majority of people here are here to say is San Francisco needs a better biking system. More safety, more money spent on, or better money spent on bike facilities. And I think that we're starting to see that or hear the ruminations of that happening.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Thank you.
Police department is making an announcement. That is drowning out the police department's announcement. Actually, it doesn't sound like a police officer. Bicyclists, this is your virgin ride with critical mass?
Yes, that's right.
Your name is?
Osa.
And you're Michael.
So, and we've just been handed a bicycle advisory from the San Francisco Police Department, which specifies a whole bunch of $104 fines, and you were saying you weren't sure how you were going to avoid those fines.
Well, particularly those two about not impeding traffic and not causing intersection gridlock. Although it seems like automobiles do that every single day.
Let's not be prejudiced now. All right. Any comments you want to make about this situation?
I'm feeling shy with the microphone.
Indeedy, I know the feeling. Thank you both.
Get your free bagels here.
Thanks.
Legal support. Get your legal support phone number and a free bagel.
Peter.
What are you doing?
All right.
I see. Shake your finger. What are you doing up here?
I'm doing a free radio Santa Cruz interview with you scoundrels cyclists.
I'm a scoundrel. You know I'm a scoundrel.
And you are indeed. You're a Santa Cruz scoundrel. What are you doing on your bike up here?
I work up here now.
I see. So you're supporting this gang of vagabonds, outlaws.
Well, the nice vagabonds and outlaws. There's some rotten people. Just like there's I'm for moderation.
I see.
There's stupid motorists and there's stupid bicyclists, and they should go away and leave the peaceful people to do what they do best, which is try to talk to each other.
Were you here last month when this happened?
I was here, but I didn't have my bike here at the time. I just moved here.
So you had your convictions, but you lacked your spokes.
I lacked my spokes. I would have been in it otherwise. I don't know. It seems like what happened is, you know, a few hundred people got started early and broke the route on purpose. I don't know.
Those dirty dogs.
Well, but some of those people seemed a bit more aggressive than the general mass of the people from talking with other cyclists and reading all the different versions of the reports.
Uh-huh.
So that was my impression. I wasn't in it, so I can't say for sure.
I appreciate your view, and I'm going to run and catch up with McHenry.
What do you think, by the way?
I don't know. I wasn't here. It was my first time here. I'm going to try to find out. That's my...
Did you get on a bicycle?
I bought a car, but not a bicycle. But I didn't bring my limousine, though.
Oh.
So we're here with the...
What's your name?
Kimberly.
Kimberly, you're selling Ride a Bike, Go to Jail t-shirts.
Yes.
Are you riding a bike today?
No, I'm not.
But you're presenting a message to those who want to support those who are riding a bike.
You got it.
You think there are going to be any arrests here today?
There could be. Who knows?
If they get arrested, at least they'll have your t-shirt.
Right. They can wear them in jail.
There you go. Thank you very much.
All righty.
Video cameras in the crowd. One guy actually has a video camera attached to his helmet. You folks are standing up videoing the crowd. Were you here last time?
I've seen lots of people standing up there looking for two.
Still time to go. I'm going to slip through the crowd.
Because once you leave here today, I think you all know that what happens after this is going to be a long-term thing. Either he's going to grow.
Channel 5.
They could put everybody in the bus. I mean, if you've been to jail before, it's not a fun thing.
Richard Edmondson.
If you're willing to risk that, that's cool. I understand that. If you're that much behind the cause, then that's what you should do. But think about what you're about to do.
He is in charge of the Friday night skate. I don't know what his name is.
Ain't no turning back, y'all.
But every Friday, he's organized a Friday night skate.
You can go out there and obey the laws.
It starts at 8 o'clock.
Or whatever. Or you don't have to do that.
But it's an organized route. And they
but whatever you do,
stop clause and all that.
The step that you're going to take from here on out.
He's not part of critical
mass. And I think to everybody else, like that's on the other side,
so people have been speaking here for the last half hour.
Speaking?
They're going to do what they got to do, too.
So this is his
I want you to have fun.
He just usually plays music.
I talk.
You know, he just usually plays.
This is the first critical mass I've ever been on, and I don't know the answer.
Oh!
I don't know the answer to this question. Is it a good idea to stop at the stop signs, or the stoplights, I mean?
No!
It seems to be a few no's, but a lot of silence on that one.
Well, just as an individual that went to that meeting that the police department held,
how are you?
You know, they've been out here for a while. Actually, before all this, things were going pretty smooth, I thought.
What's happening?
But now we all know where everything stands. When you take off away from here,
just enjoying the
scene. Everybody's going to have to do their thing.
Here last time, Richard?
You,
no,
backing your cause.
So this time you're not going
to
be left out.
That up. The police.
Well, I just thought I'd come down out of curiosity to see what's going to happen today. A lot of people are thinking
this
is going to be a big event. It is obviously a big event, but what happens after the riot actually starts?
I know they out there ready.
I don't see a lot of cops.
They're ready.
Do you know much about the
police? Think about this wherever you go, whatever you do, think about it.
Yeah, all around the area.
Stand up and take responsibility for how you feel.
Yes.
If you feel that hard about it, then it's
how are you going to be able to report this when you're not on a bicycle yourself?
We have a
radio reporter on a bicycle who's going to ride in the run.
You got a lot of people out of their cars right now.
She's wearing a helmet. And
if you want to be more successful,
is she wearing a video camera?
She has a tape recorder, and she's planning to obey the traffic laws, I think.
Well, Becky here is on video, on skates. I don't know if she's going to escape.
We have a man from Austin, Texas.
You're going to ride with him, Becky?
I'm going to risk my $1,087 camera.
Right.
We're working on that, and we've gotten the same kind of police harassment on critical mass that you've had here. But man, I just gotta tell you that I'm jealous that you have thousands of people out here. If you get thousands of people on the street, even obeying all the laws, you can't help but take over San Francisco with several thousand people, even obeying all the traffic laws.
Folks are starting to ride.
Do whatever you want, but man, I'm gonna keep my nose clean. I'm gonna have a fun ride no matter what. It's 6 o'clock. Let's go. Listen, we just wanted to make sure that you know that you can have a safe, enjoyable, extremely awesome ride tonight because you are the leaders of Critical Mass. Just go and do it peacefully, safely, legally, and be traffic.
Can I get that to play? This is the final announcement from the San Francisco Police Department. Reminding you, we will not be participating in the ride.
are about to take off.
The way here.
Free Radio Santa Cruz here. Will? I hope I don't get a ticket this time.
Did you get your ticket last time?
Yeah.
For what?
Allegedly running a red light, which I didn't do, but, you gotta let them have their fun, right?
What's your name?
Andy.
Andy, good luck.
Thanks.
This van is also pulling away as we leave here. It's about 6 o'clock. People, we're at the intersection of Stewart and Market Streets, and we're walking with the bicyclists, heading up the way. Hey, Diamond Dave, any comments?
Okay, well, here we are. We're about to take off. It's a beautiful day, and I believe there's a lot of people here, and it's going to be a successful, interesting, elevating and entertaining and exciting time here at Critical Mass.
Thank you, David.
Like that.
The bikes are going sufficiently slowly so that pedestrians like myself can walk along with them.
And I guess we have a rollerblader who's also walking. And there are many people on the sidelines taking pictures as we walk through this part of the business district in downtown San Francisco. We have, of course, our own video camera person, Becky Johnson, on roller skates. There's a tow truck standing nearby, perhaps to tow away the errant bicyclist. Beginning to pick up speed. Looks like I'm going to be left behind pretty darn soon, but we'll see. Police action, it won't happen for at least a few blocks to get them away from the pitiless glare of publicity, which police action would be subject to if they did any stuff nearby.
Which
bicyclists are slowing for here at Mission Street. We have a guy with it's written on his back, "I'm from Austin." That's on his bare back. Bicyclists are now turning right on Mission.
Are people to abide by the laws?
Bicyclists are stopping for lights here at Spear and Mission. Police officers, actually, outside of those who are at the very start of the march, on the march, I haven't. There are a couple of journalists, one guy with a heavy-looking video camera, hustling along the sidewalk to keep up with the bicyclists. One suspects, as I said before, the action is not going to happen here. There's a parked TV van. Lots of different folks. I don't see any bicyclists in business suits. Half with helmets, half without. A couple of rollerbladers. Somebody's dropping money, probably me. And then there's some carrying memorial plaques and signs referring to bicyclists who have lost their lives or been injured in the last week here in San Francisco. One less cyclist, says the placard on the back of one biker. They're turning. Actually, some of them are splitting off. Some bicyclists are heading in straight down Mission. Others are turning right on Main Street. And we are now getting closer to, there's a police office. Here's where some cops are lined up on motorcycles. There's a woman with "Cars suck, ride a bike" sign by the side of the road, standing about 10, 15 of them. Emergency vehicle, squad car. Looks like a police truck. And again, more police motorcycles lined up on the left side of the road here near Citibank. They're kind of mixed in with the cyclists. Stop for the Market Street red light. That says the express bus. Cyclists are crossing. Hey, we have a large limousine here crossing with us. The limousine is honking at the bicycle. This is one of those stretch limos. And the bicyclists are going through the light. Some have stopped, some are proceeding. Bicyclists are now again crossing Market Street, and we're going to the left side of Market where we're going to be going up Market, some of us on bikes, some of us on shoes.
bicyclists to us pedestrians who have infiltrated their critical mass.
The bikers have been treating me very courteously on the skates, too, with some really tiny, minor collisions having occurred and people saying, oh, excuse me, and sorry, and being very respectful and careful.
I see a Berkeley activist. I'm going to go look for him.
Okay.
Huzzah has gone up on the bicyclists. What's this? What's the cause for this tumult?
Just having fun on bikes.
Aha. Fun? I bet it's not allowed in San Francisco.
No.
BART station here. It's about 6:10. Police officers are standing by, guarding the escalator for some reason. Bicycles are continuing along a Market Street that is kind of congested because of construction. A lot of the lanes are kind of walled off with yellow mesh, orange mesh. Trolley tracks have kind of been torn up, and there's really not a lot of room for the bicycles to move on here. But they're proceeding. Bicycles are much more maneuverable than cars, take up much less space, and of course consume no gas, which is a major plus. From the origin of the march and of the ride, and there's still many people with not on bicycles, with video cameras, who obviously couldn't have walked this far. Perhaps they had been placed here before, and they're following all this. So the event has really provoked major interest here in San Francisco. Sorry, Messman, editor of Street Spirit, has made the comment. No, I don't want to quote him. I don't think he wants to be quoted, but he and others have commented that something to the effect that bikers are kind of white boy wimps who don't really want to come out for other more significant issues. That the biking issue, compared, let's say, with survival for the homeless, is really not at the top of the priorities.
Yeah.
As we move up Market Street, we enter the areas of folks who are not particularly here to watch the event, but returning from work, going out for the evening, engaging in the normal business that San Franciscans do, and it's a kind of a different scene. Video cameras, no more. Looks like an ordinary San Francisco scene with a lot of bicyclists. Not as many. I guess now the bicycles are getting spread from each other as was happening before. One last turn, bike running across the street again. Everyone's keeping to the traffic lights. It's about 6:25, and we're crossing Ellis and Market. The bikers are picking up their pace. In the street, I have no apprehension at all that I'm going to be hit by a bicyclist. Even though there are plenty of them and they're traveling, 15, 20 miles an hour here. Not the kind of apprehension you feel when you're worrying about cars, which are, of course, much more lethal machines. Some young people riding, too. Seven or eight, 10-year-old boy. Mostly adults, mostly young male adults. A few women. Most everybody is white. A lot of signs of sympathy from folks on the sidewalk, holding up victory signs. No overt signs of hostility. No confrontations with anybody as of yet, and hopefully there won't be. Folks with cameras are here, some of them, of course, to get publicity shots and so forth, but there's a lot of concern about the protection of the bicyclists from the kind of police abuse that they suffered a month ago, where scores of them were arrested. Initially the figures were 250, and they claimed that only 125 or so have been arrested on essentially bogus charges. Still up here as we approach 7th and Market, you get your, looks like I would imagine your odd hotel dwellers come down to whip out a video camera and take a look at everybody, take a shot of folks as they drive past on their bikes. Here's a crowd going through talking.
So what do you folks think of all this, this critical mass?
I think it's great. I think they're doing really nice.
Thank you. I'm glad to see them obeying the rules this time, because there was some chaos last time.
Right.
It really was.
Thanks a lot, folks.
The police are arriving and rushing ahead on their motorcycles, crossing here at 7. Not sure why. His mother has a video camera. Some are just standing in the middle of the street. Others are trying to corral bikers going past, encourage them to stop and give their point of view. Others are standing by street corners, lampposts, taking shots as the bikers ride by.
What do you want to know?
Why is it lame?
Because the whole point is it's a protest. You don't just do everything the cops say for a protest.
I hear you.
That's here, it's about 15 to 7.
This is where kind of some trouble developed last time.
Hey!
Bit of a mass of splitting. Some are going right up to Van Ness, others are going up Market. Motorbike cops were streaming past a minute ago. Some cars with flashing lights. Flashing police lights are passing by, but doesn't look like anything serious. Most of this have essentially been cut up by the stoplights, so the original protest incentive of the march, I should say of the ride, has been co-opted, derailed, not happening. This we're pretty much going up up Market Street now. No
turn. Well,
critical mass.
Critical mass. Were you critical a month ago as well?
No, I wasn't. No, I missed that one.
Right.
That confrontation.
It looks like there's not much confrontation happening today.
No, it seems pretty smooth.
But is this in keeping with the purpose of the ride, which is
civil disobedience?
Yeah, to some extent.
Yeah, everybody seems pretty obedient today. Too bad.
See you later.
A weenie ride all the way to the Golden Gate Bridge.
Look at those weenies. Weenie City, I mean, everybody goes, wait. So what?
That's the weenie call, yes.
The mating call of the weenies.
I see.
Is there going to be any civil disobedience here where the bikes actually take back the streets or not?
Well, we're doing it a little bit of time right now. I think we're really tying up traffic worse than we would if we were just shot to the red lights and ignored all the traffic laws. So right now we're invoking the old union work by rule tactic, where instead of workers actually using their intelligence and dealing with time and circumstance and getting work done as quickly as possible, you work exactly the way the bosses tell you to work, because they never know what they're doing. So by obeying every traffic law, we're tying traffic up worse than we are by the shootings of the lights and all that.
I don't see any traffic tied up, I gotta tell you, man. There is no traffic being tied up here. However, that's...
I think the cops have chased it all off. I think the police have gotten rid of it all. Because they didn't want a big fiasco like they had last month. It's been just amazingly quiet. All the way down Market Street, I haven't seen hardly a blue coat or showed his head.
Well, we saw a bunch of motorcycle cops heading that way twice in two groups. And we also saw some police vans. What do you say to those activists who say, here are all these bikers, these middle-class yuppie types running out and doing their biking, but, you know, nary a one will show up for a housing takeover or a homeless demo?
Well, you could look at it that way, or it could be a little more positive, maybe a little more humble, and say, well, we all have to start somewhere. Well, you, I'm not addressing you, Mr. Bathrobe dude, but or you, Ms. Camera Woman Johnson. But,
Finger backer Becky, somebody.
Well, you know, none of us are born knowing everything we know today. We all had to start by small at myself.
You think this yuppie exercise in biking through San Francisco is going to result in some significant protest at some point?
It could, at least it's better than nothing. They could be sitting in their car driving, could be sitting in their Beamer at least one night a month. You know, sure, we need more from these people.
Right.
I absolutely
comments?
Well, I think basically, my opinion, I mean, critical mass should be contesting the whole, you know, makeup of the urban environment, you know? I mean, nobody ever, you know, sat down and decided, other than the automobile industry and politicians, that, you know, the urban environment should be built around the automobile.
And what do you say to critics who say you can get all these fine white boys out for a bike ride once a month, but you get them to do any real significant protest about real issues or people living and dying?
Well, this is a real issue because actually automobiles produce about a third of the carbon monoxide emissions, which in the next 100 years will submerge San Francisco.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. However, there are homeless people dying on the streets, and you couldn't get 1 out of 100 of these people to do shit for homeless people, right?
Possible, I don't know.
That's my
idea. Yeah, myself, I offer social revolution, and if you can do it on a bicycle, all the better.
I hear you, and I support that.
What are you collecting your information for?
I'm collecting it for Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, all right, yeah.
Come on down and give us a shout. What's going on? Oh, they always do that. They like their pretty lights.
Yeah, well, basically, I think that, you know, we've had decades of city planning in the interest of the automobile industry, and a lot of poor people, you know, who can't afford their own cars could be using mass transit if the infrastructure were there. And why isn't it there? Because they're building parking garages and bridges and highways, you know, instead of like mass transit that people can really get around it. And, you know, I mean, what's all this movement for ultimately anyway? It's making some profits or for some fat cats that Willie Brown is, you know, representing.
So, but is this going to change Willie Brown's mind? This,
Willie Brown, man, we're here to use this social environment in a different way, and we're doing it.
This is going to change the environment. Yeah, good. I mean, I'm just wondering, is you got all these people together. What's happening now? Everybody rides across San Francisco and...
Green light.
And they go home.
Talks and relates maybe in a less alienated way than they do all day on their job, or they do when they're commuting in car traffic, or they do on the... or they do when they're on the bus. Anyway, it's a chance to cause a lot of problems for the pigs, so...
Right now, you see, I have sympathy for that, no question about it, but I don't see any problems at the moment.
Yeah, I know. Suddenly, people have started stopping for the lights and so forth, and as far as I know, there was no, like, official plan to do that.
It's very well-mannered.
Yeah,
too well-mannered to suit me.
Yeah.
What's your name, first name?
Let's see, what's
your... We'll call you, Newman.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know, Nestor Mach, no, something like
that. Yes, Nestor Mach. Well, thank you. Anything else you want to add?
No, not really. Other than like, you know, I mean, what I see positive about this is people manifesting a desire for something other than what mainstream society provides and says is all right for them to have.
Confiscate that limo. Good luck, man.
Sort of a congestion of traffic up here, mainly police vans with their blinking yellow lights, and of course a crush of bicyclists as we move beyond Van Ness.
I was just following those line of police cars and vans, and they pulled across, was this Market Street here?
Right, Van Ness,
South Van Ness, right. And about 3 of them hung out in the intersection during the entire light, blocking the traffic. It was the biggest traffic blockage I've seen yet in this whole critical mass thing, and it was caused by the police.
Well, perhaps they're trying to help critical mass demonstrate the futility of the automobile.
That's an interesting theory, Robert.
You're a writer for Revolutionary Worker.
Yeah.
And you actually did an article on last month's critical mass.
Yes, I did.
And, you weren't there, but you did some research. Does this look like a smaller critical mass to you?
I don't know. It seems pretty big to me. I have a hard time estimating people, but it seems like there's thousands of riders. It stretches down Market Street for blocks and blocks and blocks.
You think it's effectively tying up traffic? Or that's not really the point. The point is, of course, to make the streets bicycle-friendly. Right?
I think it's making the point. I think there's thousands of people out here having a good time, having fun, showing that, you know, bicyclists have a right to the road just like anybody else.
And apparently can fix their bikes en route.
I think there's a real spirit of people working together and being together, which I think that's a lot of what the authorities find threatening. They want everybody to be in their little cars, isolated from everybody else, going to their slave job, and thousands of people coming together in a community riding their bikes is something that they find threatening.
I mean, are they in a community? I've tried to talk to a few of these bikers, and they seem like they got a chip on their shoulder a mile high and their nose in the air. I mean, not all, most of them don't, I gotta say that.
But. Well, like any community, there's all sorts of people.
That's true, Felix.
In Santa Cruz, I've snagged a couple of errant bicyclists here. What do you think of the critical mass?
Talk to him.
Sir?
I'm from Philadelphia. Is it about critical mass?
Yeah.
I think it's a wonderful demonstration of democracy in the streets, people creating a community all of a sudden and taking back their rights. Bikes are traffic too, so that's what I like about it.
What about the two bicyclists that were critically injured?
Actually killed.
Killed.
Two people were killed this week. It saddens me, and it kind of reflects the fact that cyclists aren't always safe on the streets, and the city seems more interested in having more car traffic than they do in creating a safe environment for all citizens, including people who ride bikes.
So you're going to be safe once a month. Is that enough for you?
No, sir. Actually, I'm always with a helmet and always obeying all traffic laws when I commute to work daily. So
does that make you safe?
It's best that I can do. I hope that the rest of the city will start being safe too, creating more bike lanes, creating at least driver appreciation of cyclists.
Junking 90% of the cars?
I'd love that too. We'd have more space for bikes on the road that way.
Your name?
My name is Stephen Houghton.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks, have a great day.
And those are some of the highlights of the Critical Mass on August 29th, the monthly event that happens in San Francisco when bicyclists take back the streets. An event that happened after several deaths, bicycle deaths earlier in the week. A month of threats from the police department and the mayor's office, some kind of jockeying behind the scenes by both supervisors and Critical Mass people, or I should say bicyclists, who were trying to get changes in the laws in San Francisco to make the streets more bicycle friendly. One rather radical plan, which has been adopted even in American cities and some European cities, is the provision of free, cheap bicycles in the city for people to use, bicycle to different places, and then simply leave where they can be used by other people. It's a way of sort of changing the whole nature of theft and property, so that if somebody takes a bike and uses it, then they don't have to kind of lock it up and store it and hide it and put their name on it and stash it away somewhere. No, they can leave it out for somebody else to use. Much more efficient kind of system, and one that's used in different places, and hopefully will be used in San Francisco more. And that pretty much was our coverage of Critical Mass in San Francisco on Friday. As you can hear, there was lots of biking, but no brutality, no violence, no confrontation with the police. None of the things that this show is famous for exposing and documenting. And we went along to kind of not just report, but to do our bit to kind of quell that prospect. And I think that the literally dozens, if not scores, of video cameras and reporters that were present in that rally helped persuade police to, well, keep a more civil attitude than they did in the last Critical Mass. And also, perhaps unfortunately, the Critical Mass folks, and I understand that the rally was smaller than the last Critical Mass, and for other reasons too, such as the fact that the Labor Day weekend was beginning, folks were kind of getting out of there. Many were forewarned to leave early because of the Critical Mass. That removed numbers of automobiles from the downtown area. So the clash between automobile and bicycle, the kind of the dramatic spectacle of bicycles reclaiming the streets didn't really happen. And indeed, bicyclists chose not to violate red lights, as I guess Critical Mass often has in the past, not to sort of take over the road for that short period of time each month. And there were some, as you heard, who regretted that, who felt that Critical Mass should have done that, even though it did involve some technical violation of the laws. But on the positive side, the bicyclists were not turned aside by the intimidation by the police department, orders from the mayor's office, tickets, arrests, and brutality by police at the previous Critical Mass. So that certainly was a victory. Some idea to the background as to the deeper problems that Critical Mass is confronting. Here's an article from San Francisco Frontlines. It's a monthly newspaper, comes out in San Francisco. Sometimes you can get it down here, but usually you can't. It's kind of a more radical version of the San Francisco Bay Guardian or the San Francisco Weekly. An article in San Francisco Frontlines, the August issue, is by Carlos Petroni called Five Problems and Five Proposals to Solve Them, the Transportation Nightmare. I'm going to do a little reading from that. Problem one, if you want to get in or out of the city, you get trapped at rush hour on many days at any time in several bottlenecks, the Golden Gate and Bay Bridges, 280 and 101 going south, several major streets. Traffic engineers estimate an increase in commuters of around 12% in the next 2 years and an increase of cars at around 17% for the same period. Proposed solution. The city needs at least one new light rail service heading south, a downtown train depot, the extension of BART to the airport, and two additional underwater tunnels for BART to the East Bay. Additionally, we need to reduce car traffic by at least 25% in the next 2 years and have a plan to reduce it by 40% in 5 years. This can only be achieved by raising tolls on the bridges to $5 for single occupancy vehicles and no charge for automobiles or vans with four or more passengers. We need to create safe bicycle lanes in all directions to and from the city. Problem two, traffic congests commercial centers and neighborhoods. Parking is impossible. Traffic increases because cars search an average of 15 minutes for parking per trip to each area. Proposed solution two, create at least five pedestrian-only zones, typical of these that exist, those that exist in other parts of the world. Make mass transportation available to those areas and nearby parking secure. We also need converging bike lanes connecting all pedestrian malls. Start converting portions of Mission, Haight, Market, Castro, 24th Street, and other critical thoroughfares to the system. This would, based on worldwide experience, encourage economic development of the areas and reduce crime, contrary to what some critics might say. Problem three, some people would like voters to approve the reconstruction of freeways in November. That would only make the problem worse. Solution, vote against it. Problem four, traffic in the city could be reduced at least 30% by simply redesigning bus routes and increasing muni budget and staffing for small route minivans. Solution, in order for this to work, responsibility for running muni should be transferred to the control of its workers, reducing management by at least 40%, making funds available for planning, more buses, staff, and infrastructure should be linked to the efficiency of the service. Muni should then be run by an elected board of 11 riders and 7 muni workers. Problem 5, mass transit planning and infrastructure renewal needs money. Proposed solution 5, money is available. It is in the pockets of big corporations which pay little or no city taxes. A progressive tax on big downtown business interests could be used to resolve this problem. The long-term objective will be to have free mass transit combined with alternate transportation such as bicycles as long-term sustainable solutions. That's The Transportation Nightmare, Five Problems and Five Proposals to Solve Them by Carlos Petroni in the August edition of the San Francisco Radical Monthly, San Francisco Frontlines. Good ideas, and it may seem a little far afield to those of you here in Santa Cruz, but I'm sure that most of you have been to San Francisco, and what I'd really like to see is some specific proposals for mass transit down here. One of the great scandals that's happening in all the major urban areas and in Santa Cruz is the cutbacks in municipal bus services that strongly impact poor and homeless people. Bicyclists and bicycling may be a largely yuppie phenomenon, or not a yuppie phenomenon, certainly not a particularly homeless phenomenon for most homeless people. It's not at the top of their priorities, though having a bike as transportation is a nice thing to have. But certainly, mass transit is vital for folks without money or with little money, and it's being destroyed. I try to catch a bus on a holiday in Santa Cruz. It just don't happen.
I get excited when groups like Critical Mass work together democratically through using civil disobedience to essentially rationalize a situation which is enforced in an irrational fashion, this monopolization of death by cars in the downtown area. I run a car, I use a car, I don't use a bike. I'm hoping to get a bike, and just to use it more frequently would be better for me and better for everyone. It also has been pointed out, of course, that poor people, like mothers trying to get their kids to school, mothers trying to get their kids to doctor's appointments, they can't use bikes. I mean, it's just not possible at this time. They really need mass transport or cars. And this huge crackdown on poor people and cars via insurance and smog and other regulations of this sort is having a severe effect on the quality of life of poor people. And this is independent of, you know, the general menace of the automobile. The the use of gas, the destruction of the environment, and so forth. We're talking about the destruction of poor people even before this by not being able to get to the jobs, to pick up to the schools, to the medical services they need, and that is, you know, that's the crisis that comes even before the car versus the auto. The transportation system has to be there for all of us before we can, you know, put a lot of energy and enthusiasm into the kind of advanced, well, it's been called by some homeless activists a yuppie attack on the automobile. I mean, it's not just a yuppie attack, it's a sane and sensible attack in many respects, but it's also true that there's something that has to be done at the same time, which is making facilities available for poor people who need them, and those facilities right now can't be bikes, unfortunately, for example, moms with their kids. You're listening, of course, to Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norse. I'm your host for Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. My broadsides are blasting out to you. That's what I do every Sunday at 11, from 11 to 1 in the afternoon. And in case you want to be a part of this dialogue, you can't call in and be on the air live, but you can call in and be on the air on tape. And hopefully at some point you will be able to be live. If you want to give a call and have your point of view expressed after a delay, of course, because I won't be able to do this till the next show, give a call to 423-4833 or 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F. Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom is the name of the organization I work for, and also letters that spell out my phone number, 423-HUFF. And whatever you say, if it's relevant to what I'm talking about, and I give a pretty broad leeway there, I'll put you on the air, and if you have a contrary view, well, that's fine with me. And you can be as straightforward as you like. HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, also issues press releases, and for the last couple of weeks, for the last couple of months, we've been following the case of Miguel Balderos, or Mad Mike the Wonder Dog, as he calls himself. He's a black homeless activist who was involved a lot in the City Hall Sleepers protest last year, the protest to make it legal for people to sleep in Santa Cruz, which has, as you know, a city sleeping ban. After 11 o'clock at night, if you sleep outside, you can get a ticket up to $162. And that still goes on, even though there are more than 750 homeless people and less than 28 legal places for 28 people at night. And of course, no winter armory program, what with the governor having defunded the whole thing. It's quite a crisis. Anyway, Balderas is a homeless activist, and he's been in jail since July 1st. He's been in jail on charges of having vandalized City Hall. He's charged with vandalism, arson, and burglary. Now, Balderas is an outspoken kind of guy, and I've had my disagreements with him, and I don't agree with everything he does, and we've actually had some major differences of opinion. But the evidence which he is being held on in this case is scandalously thin, and we're going to give you, the audience, a quick scoop here about the press release that we're sending out to the media that HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is sending out. And this is what it is. It reads like this. DA's chief witness indicted for lying. Bogus prosecution continues against Balderas. Back in jail is homeless activist Miguel Balderas, still the Santa Cruz Police Department DA's scapegoat for the City Hall break-in of June 28th, where more than $50,000 damage was done. On August 28th, Superior Court Judge Kelsey reaffirmed Balderas' September 15th trial date for vandalism, arson, and burglary. If convicted of the felony arson charge, Balderas would face a second strike sentence of 7 to 10 years in prison. The arson charge that's being claimed has to do with fire damage to a typewriter in the City Hall, according to testimony by the police at Balderas' bail hearing back in July. At the July 28th arraignment, District Attorney Ellen Campos had no other evidence against Balderas than a shoe print outside City Hall, the hearsay testimony of Kitten Reynolds. That means she wasn't present to testify herself, but you simply got a police report about that, and the prospect of some unprocessed fingerprints found inside City Hall. The shoe print was attributed to Balderas on the basis of rough visual approximation by Sergeant Seeley, not any lab analysis, casts, and so forth. After a delay of 2 months, the fingerprint report revealed that the only legible fingerprint was not that of Balderas. Respected women's activist Linda LeMaster, who knew Reynolds, Kitten Reynolds, informed Balderos' public defenders that Reynolds had a history of flamboyant falsehoods and recent psychiatric incarcerations. LeMaster is prepared to testify that Reynolds told her she had lied in her accusations against Balderos. Did any of this information get to the judge? No. Neither of Balderos' two public defenders, Ken Acevedo or Heather Elrick, thought this was newsworthy enough to bring to the judge at the bail hearing, where the issue could have been contested and Balderos might not have had to spend 2 months in jail behind bars. The SCPD is well aware of Reynolds' arrest and her psychiatric history, yet police chose to use her testimony to break down the door of one homeless activist, Jim Costner, and libel two others, LeMaster and Robert Norse, that's me, in a police report that was widely circulated. That report claimed that we had received stolen property, according to Kitten Reynolds. Not so. LeMaster and Norse have filed complaints with the Citizens Police Review Board that the police report libels them. Federal authorities recently indicted Reynolds, this of course is the key to this whole story, on charges of methamphetamine possession and making a false report to a federal officer. That's a report that claimed that explosives were being trucked to Albuquerque, New Mexico, according to information we got from authorities in New Mexico. She is now being held in the Donna Ana Federal Detention Facility in Las Cruces, New Mexico, without bail, pending psychiatric evaluation. Neither public defender nor district attorney made known in open court that the chief witness in this case faces federal felony charges of lying. This is the witness on whose hearsay testimony Miguel Balderos has been rotting in jail for 2 months. In spite of the lack of evidence, Balderos is jailed on $15,000 bail. Activists describe the police arrest of Balderos as a quick cop fix stemming from police embarrassment at an unsolved break-in within 100 feet of the police department, that is, the break-in at City Hall. Judge Kelsey agreed to release Balderos without bail only if a sequestered inpatient program became available, which could take weeks. This also gives the misimpression that Balderos somehow needs to go into a program based upon something in the charges, none of which have been proved, none of which are even credible, based upon the very thin, the lack of evidence they have entirely. Judge Kelsey included a condition, again showing his prejudice, that Balderos, who often speaks to city council during public meetings, stay far away from City Hall. So the First Amendment, according to Judge Kelsey, does not apply to Balderos because of perjured testimony from the police department. Now, I don't blame Kitten Reynolds for this testimony. Kitten is not really responsible. She likes a lot of attention and she makes a lot of wild statements. I blame Sergeant Seeley. I blame Police Chief Belcher. I blame DA Campos and DA Art Danner for engaging in this kind of nonsense, this kind of vicious nonsense, incompetent at best, and malicious and unlawful at worst. Kelsey refused to allow the press to tape record Balderos' three hearings. Balderos filed a writ of habeas corpus, which was held for a week, and then returned to him as, quote, technically faulty. Nor was he helped with this writ by his public defender or anyone else. The Santa Cruz Sentinel falsely charged Balderos with receiving stolen property of which he is not even accused. Earlier Sentinel stories paint a menacing and guilty picture of him for which Balderos says he may sue. This is the press release that we're sending out to the media today. DA's chief witness indicted for lying. Bogus prosecution continues against Miguel Balderos. What can you do about this if you're listening? Well, you can give a call to City Hall and demand that Councilmember Scott Kennedy retract his statement convicting Balderos in the press, which was reported in July, saying that, quote, they promise revolution and deliver vandalism in regard to the Balderos case. Indicting homeless activists and homeless activist Miguel Balderos for a crime which there's essentially no evidence that he did. This is Scott, Resource Center for Nonviolence guru Kennedy. This is Mr. Peacefulness himself, peacefully smearing a homeless activist. You can give a call to City Hall at 429-3550. You can, of course, call the district attorney. And the district attorney's number is 454-2400. That's 454-2400. It's in the phone book in the governmental section. If you want to look that up later on, you can give a call to HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 423-HUF. Let them know you want to support Balderas' freedom, and we can give you some ideas about letters to write or other things you can do to help us out. It's not so much a personal matter of Balderas or even a matter of supporting homeless activists who are being unfairly smeared and jailed by the police. It really is a matter of protecting your own rights. Because if the police can do this to us, then they can do it to you. And indeed may do it to you if you step out of line in some way. So think about that and consider supporting Balderas. Again, give a call to 423-4833 for further ways to help out. One event that's going on today, Sunday, the 31st of August, 1997, is one that I think you might want to look into. That's the Ed Fry event at the Veterans Memorial Hall. That's down on downtown Santa Cruz, right at the head of the mall. It's an all-day event, actually running from noon to midnight, kind of it's called a save, as distinguished from a rave, kind of a raving save, or save the rave, or some such thing. It has to do with folks getting together to see what they can do to change things in Santa Cruz around a whole variety of issues. He wants to see people talking to each other, dancing with each other, spending some time on political issues with each other. I'm not quite sure how he's going to manage it. I understand he's got some bands booked, and he's going to have folks talking to each other. Who knows? Maybe you'll have some food fights. bring your own tomatoes. But that's down in the Veterans Building from noon to midnight, all day on Sunday, all day today. So come on down to that. The Citizens Committee for the Homeless is the group that runs the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, the only emergency shelter program in Santa Cruz, as well as the group that's been sluicing off money like it's going out of style for their 40-person community house trailer project out at River and Highway 1 that I continually denounce at every available opportunity, not because it's bad to have transitional housing, but because the project has been so ineptly managed. They've been trying to put it together for, I guess, 6 or 7 years now, and they've been using homeless property, as I regard it, property that the Citizens Committee for the Homeless purportedly purchased on behalf of the homeless, and they've closed down that property, the River Street Campground, or the Coral Street Open Air Shelter, as it's sometimes called. There's a locked field back there. That's one of my grumbles, of course, a major grumble. People can't sleep legally in Santa Cruz, and the only group that has its name, the name homeless in the title and is funded, is holding back property on which people could be sleeping. Actually, has kicked people out of that property in the past. But every month, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless's Board of Directors meets, and we have two of those directors in the room with us now. Laura Tucker, the only homeless member of that board, though I understand she's found some lodging, but she's still pretty homeless and sleeps illegally in her van frequently. Police officers take note. And we have Becky Johnson, whose home seems to be rented out to everybody in town as she provides services for half the community.
Anyway, that's sort of an alternate ISSP program.
Yeah, she's the mini ISSP woman, the overflow babe. So what's happening? What happened at the last Thursday meeting? I understand you guys meet every fourth Thursday of every month at St. Stephen's Church at 4, for all you folks who want to go to the next September meeting.
Yeah,
well, since you were talking about Community House, and this is an extremely many times delayed project, and we're in kind of a do-or-die situation because of this nature of the federal funding that is waiting in the wings for us. And if we don't begin construction by October 1st and open our doors, I think it was April 1st.
3 months later, I thought it was.
No, it's in April. Then we have to send all that money back to the feds, and that would be...
You're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. As I remember, I've been to numerous city council meetings where, you know, they sliced up the pie and handed everything but the pie plate to Citizens Committee for the Homeless.
You know, I talked to a homeless man at a Food Not Bombs gathering at the Clock probably about a couple months ago at least. He was really upset about this. Apparently he's seen this happen many times where these organizations, they get the grants, they get the funding because, you know, they've got the clergy on their board or the, you know, white suits and ties or whatever, and they look acceptable. So, and they end up, you know, fudging the project and the money goes back. and he was stating how important it is to have alternate organizations that can really get their shit together and get this done and really care about the homeless. Or whatever, you know, group it is. So, you know, I'm starting to feel quite sure that there's nobody like that out there, but it sure would be nice to see some alternative people that could get some of this grant money, something to think about in the future.
In fact, a lot of the extra money that Community House has been getting when City Council's been handing out extra chunks is directly related to the need to get Community House up and running. Not just for the federal funds that Community House will get, but counties everywhere are looking to sort of be on the gravy lane ride with the federal government, and this is the first major project that Santa Cruz has gotten funded by the feds, and I know City Council's looking up the road that they'll have other projects in years to come. And if they mishandle this project, it will not be good for those projects up the road. That's why City Council has so much support for Citizens Committee for the Homeless for getting this Community House started. And every time you turn around, they're giving us more money.
You know, in spite of the fact that the only public testimony from the homeless that the City Council ever received was actually a direct appeal of the